Hey, this is H1, and we're going to be running it back with another episode talking about chess knowledge, chess wisdom, and chess understanding. And today I got something for you. We are going to talk about the best chess openings for beginners. Let me say it again because I need y'all to get excited. We're going to be talking about the best chess openings for beginners. And I'm going to let chess.com deliver, all right, because it's an article from them. So I'm going to give them their props. And then I'm going to be talking about my experiences on what are the best chess openings for all of you who is listening to this podcast right now. So just sit back, relax, drink some water, eat some, I'm trying to think about all the healthy stuff. Eat some pickles. You know what? Eat a pickle. It's zero calories. You know, not some added salt stuff. Okay, I'm insane. Let's just move on to the next segment. Peace! All right, let's get started. So the very first line of this blog reads, "The first few moves of a chess game can be some of the most important moves you make." That is true. And that's a good first sentence, because when I'm playing players, I just already have an assumption of what type of player you are. Because if you didn't know this, certain openings give you like the personality of the person that you are playing. So for instance, I might assume, since you're an E4 player, that you just like tactics. You like being in an open position. You like being aggressive. You want to like sacrifice a pawn against me. You want to get into a gambit. It can mean a whole sort of things. And maybe you might play E4. I might play E6. You might play D4. I might play D5. And then you exchange the pawns there. You go into like a French defense exchange variation. And then I'm going to be like, oh, no, never mind. This guy is really boring. He plays like a solid position all the time, probably. And he wants something very balanced. It can switch up that quickly. That's why these are assumptions, guys. But the very first few moves do tell a lot about the person and a lot about how they want to play. If somebody plays D4, I'm going to just assume that you are a very solid player. You're very positional. You like closed positions. You like to build up an attack on my king, or maybe on the queen side where my king isn't at. I don't know. Maybe you're a more positional attacker type of player if you play D4. And if you play C4, then you like things to go really slow. You like semi-open positions. Just along these lines, I'm always asking myself questions as we play a chess game. That's what you should be doing as a beginner. And let me just read the rest of this right quick. It says, "In those moves, you will establish your early plans and fight for your place on the board. Most beginners don't need to memorize exact opening moves and should instead focus on good opening principles like controlling the center and developing your pieces. However, it is useful to know some openings as they can be common and they do help reinforce good plans. But don't become too reliant on memorization or you will soon find yourself feeling lost." And that's what I always say to y'all. When I'm talking about opening principles, do not memorize, but understand what is going on here. Do not try to remember, understand the moves that is actually happening in the game. When grandmasters throw out 20 moves, they don't just throw out 20 moves and then pause at the end of that, right? They understand what is going on in the position because they already studied it before they even played the game at the tournament, which is crazy to think about, but it's true. It's true. So the next time you see a high-level tournament with Hikaru Nakamura or a Magnus Carlsen, just think to yourself like, oh, snap, they are beyond my league. They are out of this world. I can't believe they live on Earth, because that's just how it is. It's a complicated game. Now, let's get started. So we got the first opening that they said is the best for beginners, and it is the Italian game. What is the Italian game? Well, you better get your chessboard out, because if you want to learn the Italian game, you got to follow these moves, and you have to know algebraic notation too. So the first few moves is E4, E5, knight to F3, knight to C6, and then bishop C4. Bishop C4 initiates the Italian game. And the point is to control the center quickly and with your pawn and knight, and then put your bishop on the most dangerous square, which is bishop c4. Because if you notice, if you actually brought your chessboard out, or if you're visualizing the moves that I'm saying right now, that bishop is attacking that pawn on the f7 square, which is one of the weakest pawns in the beginning of the game, because that king is the only thing that is defending that f7 pawn, and vice versa too. The white king is only defending that f2 pawn. So that is a weakness. And there's actually a tactic called exploit the f7 pawn weakness. Okay? Look at those tactics and pretty much learn how to do sacrifices on that pawn strategically, of course. Don't do some premature attack and then not know what to do afterwards. You don't sacrifice a piece there just to get your opponent's king to not castle, or just to get your opponent's king out in general. You don't do a sacrifice without a plan, all right? The second best opening that they say here is the Sicilian defense. The Sicilian defense is the most popular, and I play the Sicilian defense. I can tell you that right now. And I like playing the Sicilian because it kind of gets, it's like an equal battlefield, because if my opponent wants me to play e5, and they know all the openings with e4, e5, I want them to get into my game, so I just play c5. And that could be the same thing for a Carol Khan type of player or a French defense type of player. And the Sicilian defense is e4, c5. Those are the first two moves. White piece, e4, black piece, c5. And there is, it's like its own different planet too when you learn the Sicilian defense. And I know what y'all might be thinking. Is that really a good opening for beginners, though, because it has so much theory in it? It is, still, because there are still simple lines that you can go down in the Sicilian defense that is not as complicated. If you want to go down the dragon variation, sure, go down the dragon variation. If you want to do something more simple, like maybe, what's a simple opening in there? Maybe like a Khan variation? No, that could be complicated, too. As you understand the opening, it gets simpler. That's as basic as I can say it is. You know what I mean? I can't think about simple Sicilian openings right now. Hey, maybe tell me in the comments. All right. So the French defense is the third most simple opening on this blog right now. And it says the French defense is one of the first strategic openings every chess player should learn. After e4, then black does e6, and then white does d4, and generally speaking, black always do d5. Those are like the very first two moves that black should always be doing, is e6 and d5, attacking that e4 pawn, and that is the strategy. And one thing that I would like to mention on the French defense, and actually mentions it here, is that one risk of the French defense is that the c8 bishop can be very hard to develop, which that is true. I used to play the French defense a lot. I used to do certain openings so that I can get that bishop developed, but if that bishop doesn't get developed, it's hard to activate it. And sometimes I kind of like just give it away. Not give it away with no material, but like just exchange it with my opponent's bishop. Try to give it away that way. Okay. The fourth option is the Roy Lopez. The Roy Lopez is one of the oldest and most classic of all openings. And why is this the best for beginners? Well, the Roy Lopez, even though that is very sharp, very tactical, especially when grandmasters are playing, it's a classic opening. You can follow the principles. There are some openings that break the opening principles, and you don't understand why they break the opening principles because you're still a beginner. And that's okay. Everybody's on this journey, this chess journey of life, all right? But with the Roy Lopez, if you just follow developing your knights, developing your bishops, castle and kingside, control the center, so doing a move like c3, d4, then you're good, you're fine. And these are the first few moves of the Roy Lopez. It's e4, e5, knight to f3, knight to c6, and then bishop b5. So instead of bishop c4 that initiates the Italian game, it's bishop b5 to attack the knight that is on c6. And yeah, it's just a lot of theory after that that you're gonna have to learn. Fifth and final opening, which is it's the best opening for beginners. I didn't really expect this to be on the list, but it is the Slav defense. And the slot defense is actually a very solid opening. Now, the semi-Slav defense is a different story. But if you play the Slav defense, you have to get used to like the cramped positions that you're going to encounter. And you have to know exactly what to do to release the full activity of your bishops and knights. Because if you don't, it could be like the French defense where your bishop on c8 isn't really developed. And let me just clarify to all the beginners is that the Italian game and the Roy Lopez is for the white pieces, generally speaking. Those are openings for the white pieces. And the Sicilian defense, the French defense, and the Slav defense is for the black pieces. And you can know that it's for the black pieces because it has the word defense at the end of that opening. And so, yeah, that is the list on chess.com. Now, if I was thinking about my own list, and let me stand back up. I don't know why I sat down. Let me think about my own list. I would put the Italian game in there. Of course, Rory Lopez seems simple enough. If I was thinking about the black side, I would say I would add the Caro-Kann. The Caro-Kann is pretty easy. It's simple enough. Anybody can play that. And then if my opponent played d4, I would, honestly speaking, and this might be weird, but I would put the King's Indian defense on there. And for the white pieces, I will put the King's Indian attack because that's what most beginners are learning nowadays in 2023 is the King's Indian defense and the King's Indian attack. The King's Indian attack is for the white pieces. King Indian defense is for the black pieces. And you can play that same type of moves, that same type of structure against anything. And actually, in this list, I'm surprised that the London opening isn't on here. The London variation isn't on here. I would add that too, but that goes off of my five. Okay, so final five. I would put the Italian game, the London variation, the Caro-Kann, the King's Indian defense, and the King's Indian attack. I would put those five. That would be my five, especially for beginners. But ultimately speaking, that's generalizing, but it does depend on your personality. So for instance, if you're 1100 type of player, your ELO's 1100, and you like attacking your opponent, I wouldn't even give you any of these openings. I would be like, okay, actually, I will give you the Italian game because you can play the Evans Gambit. And, you know, H1 loves the Evans Gambit. But hopefully you enjoyed this. I enjoyed speaking about the best openings that, hey, that people should be playing. Okay. Next segment. It's an awkward close. When am I going to close it? All right, that's it. H1 has to bounce. But for everybody that have been listening to this podcast, I appreciate you. And, you know, this has been a wonderful time doing this, and I will keep on doing this. Maybe after 1,000 episodes, I might retire. But until then, let's keep on fighting till the end, staying focused in chess and in real life, too. I will see you later. Peace. Peace. I'm a bad beatboxer. I know. Never do that again.